Hi there, this is Loria Chews of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So today's audio is going to be, is based on a question that I received about how do you know or how do you progress your rehab stages and your exercise programs and all the rest. Basically, question was like, I'm not sure. I don't want to hurt the animal, but I don't know if I'm not progressing them fast enough either. So that's what inspired this audio. So basically, want to start with some basic fundamentals. Actually, a great place to start if you haven't gone there yet in the free stuff. Get free stuff now on that page on the Four Leg website. You will find the rehabilitation pyramid, and this is an excellent place to start to look at how you should be progressing, rather goal setting first, and then planning your treatment and progressing. So if you find that one, that would be a good place to start and maybe follow along and through there. Basically, if we look at that first tier, the bottom row of the rehab pyramid says, to control inflammation, control pain, and restore integrity of the injured tissues. And I would say these are the components that would comprise the maybe up to the first 2 weeks of your rehab, maybe less than 10 days, 2 weeks, but somewhere in there, your main goals are simply inflammation, pain, and integrity of the tissues. And once you move past that, or basically out of that acute phase, that's when you start going into the next level or the next tier, which is going to be restore range of motion. And that would look like your active range of motion and or your passive range of motion. I like active as best I can. So let's say if it's a post-op cruciate, I mean, you can do your passive range of motion, but I like to get those dogs to do sitting practice. So that would be active range of motion, that the animal is doing it themselves. The other component on that same tier is to address muscle inhibition and restore control of volitional contractions. So we could, for addressing muscle inhibition, your muscle stim can work quite nicely there. And volitional contractions, even things as simple as your weight shifting and even your underwater treadmill or any kind of land-based exercise that just gets the animal starting to use the leg, fits into that tier, okay? And they're likely going to stay in that component for another 2, maybe 3 weeks tops. And then we need to move on to the next tier, which is going to be restore muscle strength and endurance, as well as restore reflex reactions. So the muscle strength and endurance, that can be your targeted strengthening exercises. So these would be the ones I want them doing, very specific, pardon me, exercises. And that might be things like my three-leg stand and progress then to a diagonal leg stand. It might be walking up hills. And then, of course, the endurance could just be, you know, every day the owner walks the dog. And usually I say if you go by houses, you can say, okay, you know, every day walk your dog one house extra, or every 2 days go maybe three houses more, so that it is a definite gradual progression, but you're doing something more every time. The restore reflexive reactions, that can be working on our balance and our coordination. So that's going to start off. So let's go back to my three-leg standing example. So you lift one leg off and they're balancing that way. And then you can lift that one leg off and wiggle it. And or you can then put the affected leg on one of those sit discs or a old polyester pillow or something, or a hot water bottle, anything like that, and then do your three-leg stand. So now we've increased that distraction force, or rather displacement force, and you're trying to work on the balance and coordination aspects, and you're just going to increase it from there. Then you would move up to the next tier, is restore functional movement patterns, and this is going to be looking a little bit more, taking it to the next level. So this could be doing things like Well, for example, I've got a dog right now where I'm working on going over the trot poles actually at a trot. So not just walking them, but going a faster speed. This can be doing introducing pieces of sporting equipment. So I've got weave poles that I love to incorporate into all of my post-op cruciate dogs, even if they're not agility dogs. And I'm not asking them to do it 90 miles an hour. I'm asking them to follow a cookie. So that's a functional movement pattern. They have to step and push off with one leg and then the other to weave through those. And you can progress that to things that would require more strength. Tug of war. I love tug of war. Different things that are incorporate bursts. So you could do retrieve exercises starting at a very short distance and progressing to a longer distance. Things then that are going to slowly start to incorporate speed and more complex movements. And then finally, at the top of the pyramid, you get return to functional activities. And so this can be return to sport or return to off-leash activity, even if it's not sport. And so that might be even things like, you know, allowing 5 minutes of running around in the backyard. And then it could be allowing play with boring friends first before you would, you know, allow them to interact with another dog, let alone a whole bunch of dogs at the dog park. So that's the rehab pyramid. Pardon me. My goal with progressing exercises in particular is that I want to progress a little bit every time. And especially once they've moved out of that bottom layer of the rehab pyramid where there's no more, well, rather, inflammation is mostly managed. Pain is not in the acute phases anymore. It's manageable. The tissues are not in jeopardy. So then I want to start with some of the exercises. And every time I see that animal, I should be progressing it a little bit each time. Okay? Another way to look at it is that I've heard this the best, and I hadn't even realized that I did it, but I do this, is that looking at it after three appointments or three times of doing the same thing, that animal should be improving. And if the animal isn't improving enough that you can change or increase your exercise load or whatever a little bit, then you either have to change your treatment plan, so maybe you're not doing enough to begin with, or you may have to look at reevaluating and coming up, maybe there's some other differential diagnosis or a secondary or concurrent issue that you need to address. But if the animal isn't improving within three treatments, you really need to stop what you're doing and reevaluate the whole situation. Okay, so then we go back to our exercise. And you can look at the different types of exercises. So if we go from easiest in the dog world, and this is a little bit different than humans, but in the dog world, if we go from easiest to hardest, you would start with a concentric contraction. So even if that is, let's say the dog is lying on the floor and it has it's a post-op cruciate, even if you were to kind of tickle the feet or give a little grab a toe and the animal reflexively withdraws that foot from you, trying to move it away, that would be a concentric contraction. Pretty easy. And so if you're worried about stuff, that would be a, you know, and everything is still acute, that's a good, easy way to start. That's a nice one to give owners to their post-op dogs, that they can do something just simple like that to get the animal actively contracting. And what works nice too for an extension is doing things like a tummy rub or rubbing the front of the thigh so that the dog stretches its leg out, or finding a spot at the back of its front leg, the back of the upper arm, or even close to the armpit and through there to get the dog to stretch its front leg out. So that could be a simple concentric contraction. And then you would want to move onwards to an isometric contraction. And your isometric contraction is more the muscle is contracting, but there is no movement that occurs. And the only way we can really do that in a dog is your standing balancing exercises. I can't ask a dog, you know, contract your quads muscle as much as you can and hold it there. So really all I can do is say, okay, I want you to just weight bear on that leg. And that's going to be an isometric contraction. Now, because they're weight bearing, it's a little bit resisted, but it's the closest, next easiest thing to just concentric muscle contraction. So you would progress then to resisted of a concentric or isometric. So already by it being weight bearing, it's resisted isometric. Resisted concentric, let's go back to the toe pinching. You could pinch a toe and also hold on to the leg as the animal is contracting so that there's now a resistance to that concentric muscle contraction. You would then progress to eccentric. And eccentric is a controlled lengthening of a muscle. So that would be how your quads have to work when you're walking down a hill or downstairs. Okay? Your quads don't just give up let go so that your knee bends and you move down the stairs, because then you fall flat on your face. So the quads basically let go a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit to control the lengthening of their muscles, and in that scenario to control the amount of flexion that you would get at your knee to lower you down to the next stair. So in the dogs, you're downhill, downstairs. Those are a lot of eccentric activities. And so you've just basically got, and what I find works so well, is you get on your hands and knees and pretend you're the dog and really think yourself through it. To figure out, you know, what would be eccentric for each one of the muscle groups? What would be eccentric for supraspinatus or biceps or iliopsoas? And trying to figure all of that out for each muscle. So let's say gastroc. So one of my favorite for gastroc and Achilles tendon strains, tears, tendinopathies, whatever, is doing a sit while facing up a hill. Because then they're having to slowly lengthen the Achilles tendon in order to sit, but it has to be controlled. So the gastroc muscles and all the friends are slowly allowing that lengthening to occur. So that would be an eccentric component. And you can make that harder then by doing resisted eccentric exercise. So maybe we do it with a weight pack on the animal. You could look at it that way. And again, most everything dog-wise is going to be resisted eccentric anyway, simply because of the body weight. But anyways, I digress. You can then progress then to plyometrics. And plyometrics is more like you're jumping. It's a fast, hard muscle contraction that just kind of finishes. So the example for people, it would be box jumping, so jumping onto a box. So for dogs, it could be jumping onto a bed, because it's a forceful muscle contraction that they have to contract their quads and their glutes and power themselves off the floor. And then they land on their front legs or their back legs, really, but it's not a controlled use of the muscles. In that it's more of the burst muscle contraction, or a fast muscle contraction, fast, hard muscle contraction. So jumping up onto something or jumping over something would both fit for rear legs, being plyometric. And once you move past that, then you've got to come up with activities that work on burst and speed and complex movements and diagonal muscle patterns and all of those. So that also turns into that return to sport and return to functional activities, as you incorporate those sorts of things that are the unpredictable or the, you know, the fast, the more complex, the more sporting, the more fit activity levels. Good. So when you are contemplating how you are going to choose your exercise and exercise progressions, you have a few different choices. So one would be you can increase the duration of the exercise. So let's say you've got your dog and he's doing underwater treadmill. Each time he comes in for underwater treadmill, he should be able to go a minute more each time. That's not a big step up. That's not a big deal. So so you could increase duration. You could increase resistance or weight. So that might be utilizing weight packs. You could increase the amount of repetition. So if we are doing targeted exercises and let's say I'm doing weave pulls or I'm doing crawling under, I can do more repetitions of the same exercise. I can increase speed. So I can get the animal going, like my dog right now that I'm working on trot pulls and coordination on trot pulls at a faster speed. We increase speed. We can increase difficulty by adding a balancing component. So just to make whatever it is harder. And then you can also increase the exercise frequency. So you could say, okay, now I want you doing this exercise regime 3 times a week instead of twice a week, or twice a day instead of once a day. So not to say that this is in any particular order, but these are just all of your options for increasing the exercise that you're asking the animal to do. And to look at what are my options to make my exercise program harder. And every time, if you're the one doing the exercises in-house, they're coming to you, you really need to make it different, make it harder, a little bit harder every time. Otherwise, you know, why are they coming to you? They can carry out the exercise at home. What makes it unique to coming into seeing you is that you are looking at it and changing it every time and thinking up, you know what, this is how we did last time and we'll see, he's doing pretty good at it this time, so let's make it a little harder. Let's do more, let's add an element of complexity and go from there. So my rule of thumb, this is kind of how I think about it. For rehab in the early stages, so when they've first, you know, progressed out of that in painful inflammatory stage, or in the case of geriatrics as well, you really only want to progress by maybe adding one component at a time. So the dog did well this appointment, and so next appointment I'm going to add an extra element of time or a few more reps to the activity. So you're only, instead of progressing by all these factors to make yourself realize, okay, I'm just going to progress one element at a time. Now, once the animal gets into the mid-stage rehab, you can add one or two components each time they come in. So maybe I'm going to try something and increase the speed, and I'm also going to add to a different exercise, I might add a balance component to it. So you can do little bits of adding different things to, you can actually do it to each exercise, I would say. It's just in any one particular exercise, you don't want to add more than two components at once. So say I'm doing trot pulls, and I can do trot pulls where I could make the animal do more of them and at a higher speed, but then I don't also want to add a weight vest to the dog and make it more difficult by putting them at odd and unusual angles. So that would be too many changes all at once. So I would maybe pick two things to change in that mid-stage of rehab per exercise. Okay? Then when I get to the late stage, you maybe could add two or three components of change or progression to each exercise. So you could do more of them, add a weight, increase the time that they're doing them, increase the speed, change, not all these things. But anyways, going over all those, that same list again, but look at different ways that you can alter that exercise. I love to do rear legs only on the treadmill and resist the quads moving forwards, and then I can do some things where I'm pushing the dog from side to side. So I can play around a lot with that and then get them going gradually more, a longer duration when they're doing it. And those are kind of the things how I can take a simple exercise like walking on the treadmill and turn it into a more difficult exercise that starts to look at, you know, reflex reactions and restoring muscle strength and endurance and all the rest, and basically taking them to that next level of conditioning. Good. When you're looking at the exercise program you're creating, okay, you want to look at things, your general conditioning, for example. So that's just cardiovascular conditioning and generalized muscle endurance. And that's, you know, your underwater treadmill and going along in your underwater treadmill, or what the owner does, taking the dog for walks and gradually getting longer walks. That's general conditioning. And that's okay. But you also have to deal with specific muscle-targeted strengthening. So then looking at, okay, great, we're doing the underwater treadmill, but I really got to do something that strengthens this dog's glutes in particular. And so coming up with very targeted targeted strengthening exercises for key muscle groups, key muscles or muscle groups. So anyways, just to look at those components, or be aware that you need to address those components. So another place, another resource for you to look is if you go back to the four-leg rehab news, the July-August issue, Volume 1, Issue 3, where it was the first part of the exercise issue. And there is a really cool, a chart, pie chart that's in there that looks at specific exercising components that you need to target, whether it's just very, very regular fitness levels, or whether you're looking at sport-specific fitness levels. So if you find that chart, it's got two circles. It's like, you know, pie inside of a pie. So the inside one says you've got three main components that you need to deal with just for basically health-related physical fitness. So the first component is your cardiovascular respiratory endurance. And within that, that's just basically, you know, you need to go for walks and have some sort of exercise that is just your cardiovascular. Then there's the other component that deals with muscle strength, muscular endurance, and flexibility, and looking at targeting those three components to look specifically at muscle. So muscle strength, muscle endurance, and the flexibility. Okay, so my muscle endurance, if we look at muscle strength, I think we can all think about that. So you have to have muscle strength to walk up a hill. Okay, muscular endurance would be your ability to sustain a muscle contraction for a period of time. So it could still be, you know, your ability to walk up a hill several times, but it could be the ability to stand and balance on three legs or diagonal legs for an increasing period of time. So working on the muscular endurance. Ooh, it brings to mind, because this was another question somebody had asked about amputee patients, and how do you build up endurance for amputee patients? And it kind of fits in here, and my thought processing with that is to recognize that with your amputee patients that you need to spend some specific time that works on the balance and coordination, specifically to address this kind of the muscular endurance component as well. So even just doing exercises where maybe you lift a diagonal leg so that the animal is having to weight bear on two diagonals. Well, obviously, whatever leg is remaining and it's opposite, diagonal opposite, so that they work on that endurance simply of standing, and then perhaps even standing in and, you know, taking cookies from one side to the other, so it's a weight shift. So it's an endurance that's entirely different. So if I have a rear leg amputation, I could put the rear leg standing on the flat surface of the ground and the front legs doing treadmill exercise. So that rear leg has to work on that endurance of standing. Because the movement activity, they can offload onto whichever, whether it's front leg or back legs, depending on which leg was amputated, obviously, because they can throw into wherever they have the two intact legs, and make that just a pogo activity where the two good sets of legs, front or back, does most of the work. And then it doesn't end up actually being an endurance exercise at all for building muscular endurance for the remaining leg that is still intact. I just wanted to bring it up because I'm not sure I could come up with an entire discussion about that, so I'll throw that in there. And the flexibility. So whether we're remembering to look at muscle flexibility. And then the last component for just generalized health-related physical fitness is, and I found this one interesting, body composition values associated with low risk of hypokinetic diseases. So really that is obesity management or weight management in through there and dealing with those kind of health and body composition issues that can compromise the health of the animal, or this is a person-related thing, but really it fits. And then of this pie diagram, you look at the outside wheel, and that is your sport-specific physical fitness. So they've then divided cardiovascular into cardiovascular respiratory endurance, with your aerobic power and capacity, so your ability to not only have endurance, but the power, so like if you can sprint and, you know, yes, you're going to be breathing heavy, but you can tolerate that. As well as your anaerobic power and capacity. So if we look at your aerobic power, that's your utilization of oxygen so that you can do a high-end activity. I shouldn't have said sprint to the last one. Your aerobic power is you can carry on. You have the power to do an activity for an extended period of time, whereas your anaerobic power and capacity deals more with your ability to do short-term sprint-type activities that would challenge your cardiovascular system. And then the muscle aspect, they divide it even further. They divide it into six categories, looking at muscular strength again, now dealing with power. And if you're not familiar with that, definitely read that newsletter, the July-August newsletter, because it talks about power training, which I think is really a cool concept that I don't believe any of us are really consciously addressing in our dogs and our canine athletes. So the power aspect, I think we do it subconsciously, but anyways, power, looking at muscular endurance again, and then dealing with balance and incorporating balance into your activities, flexibility we talked about again, and then agility. So that's incorporating the speed and the dynamic component to what the muscle has to do. And then lastly, again, is body composition values that will optimize performance. So especially if we're looking at an athletic dog, their being a healthy weight is even more important because they're putting their body through that much more stress that weight doesn't need to be a factor as well. Okay, so that's basically the different components in through there. Lastly, I just want to talk about, you know, how much is too much and how do you know if you have progressed them too fast or too hard. And so my rule of thumb is that an animal should not be significantly worse after exercise or that night or the next day. Okay? So a little bit of muscle soreness can be okay, can be expected. I mean, here it is, I'm recording this on Wednesday, and I can't remember what I did at the gym on Monday, but holy man, my calves are killing me. So that's just muscle soreness. That's not horrible. Now, my rule of thumb, if it's muscle soreness, an animal should be able to walk off that soreness within a few minutes of warming up, and that you shouldn't see that animal being lame after a bit of a warm-up. So if the animal is lame, doesn't really improve with a warm-up, let's say going for a walk. So the animal was in and you led it through an exercise program and the owner said, oh my gosh, he was lame the whole next day. We'd go for a walk and the lameness didn't go away. Okay, you've done too much. Or even if it was, you know, you had advised the owner to start walking the dog, you know, they're new to you, you hadn't seen them, say, okay, you know what, go for a 20-minute walk. And the report back was that, okay, well, he was really sore thereafter for a couple of days, so then that's too much. So in which case, you know, to cut it back a little bit. You don't have to cut it back to what it was previously, but cut it back a little bit. Okay? And that would kind of be my rule of thumb with any of these sorts of things. So I guess my bottom line is my progressions, I want to be progressing a little bit every time. Okay? We talked about the rule of threes. The animal's not getting better after three treatments. Really, it's maybe it's time for a reeval. Okay? We talked about how much was too much. We talked about the different types of muscle exercises and the different kinds of ways you can progress exercise. And like I said, we'll direct you back to a couple of other resources there within the website. So hopefully this helps a little bit and gets you thinking, and you know, certainly drop me a line, tell me your thoughts, and hopefully this served you a little bit. And until next time, this is Lori Edge Hughes signing off. Thanks a lot. Cheers.